Welcome back to On the Fly. I'm Mark Dowie, and my guest today is monologuist Mike Daisy. Back to your relationship to journalism, your relationship as what I call an investigative comedian. You seem to, in your work and in our conversation, you seem to really value and respect the practice and trade and art and craft of journalism. Is that so?
It is, although it's fascinating because doing this show in particular has been a real eye-opening journey into the nature of how journalism is practiced, how the sausage is actually made. I was really surprised, you know, when I went to Shenzhen, when I went to southern China, the cluster of suicides at Foxconn actually started happening. The suicides, should be clear, none of the stories cover this, but the suicides were having Foxconn for years and years. But the cluster of them happened just as I was about to go to go there and had already set up the trip.
And the suicides you're talking about are workers jumping off the 14-story building,
yes,
right?
Yes, leaping right. off of Foxconn's buildings, yes. I thought it was terrible it was happening, but I thought to myself, well, at least I'm hearing about this in the Western press finally, like that no one ever talks about any of this. I thought this could have an upside. There'll be reporters there on the ground, and I'll get there, and they won't feel threatened by me because I create theatrical stories, so this will be great because we'll talk to one another and connect, and maybe they'll be part of this story. I was so naive. There were no reporters. There was no coverage. There was no one. I cannot tell you how disillusioning it was. Really, and it was particularly disillusioning when the day came when the China mainland government decided to cut off coverage of any of the labor activities in southern China, and how right after I read that on a website, you know, where they had to like intercepted the memo, then the very next day, nothing in any of the mainland China papers about anything that was going on, but also nothing in the Hong Kong papers, who are totally suborned to China. And then watching the Google Analytics, it's really, really clear, nothing in the Western press. Like, no one in journalism, I'm sure, feels like they are complicit with censorship in China. But if you look at the numbers, it's very clear that they are. Because as soon as the feeds of information dry up, the story is over. We're on a 24-hour news cycle, and we move on immediately. So it's been fascinating because I feel a higher degree of respect for investigative journalism now than I did before. But I'm horrified at how little there is. I still can't quite believe that there was no one actually there except me, from what I can tell, covering these activities at that moment in the spring when all these things were shifting and changing. And in all the months that have passed since then, there's a major story in Wired this month, and that Wired story is terrible. There's no investigation. The reporter, they put on the front cover of Wired magazine, the reporter does not talk to a single worker. He says very clearly that he was flown over there by Foxconn and the PR reps that Foxconn has hired from New York. They accompany him everywhere, and he simply repeats everything they say. It was like a Potemkin village. I mean, the man's a useful idiot. And so I'm having a very interesting dualism where I'm feeling simultaneously I respect even more people who actually investigate things, because it was not clear to me how hard it is to actually work through corporate structures to get a story out about something. I honestly didn't know.
I'm feeling thoroughly scolded, Mike.
I don't mean to scold, but it is, particularly in the tech press, it's horrifying. In the tech press, you know, they're terribly suborned because the entire tech news cycle revolves around what? The release of these objects that come from these corporations. And so it's horrifying to see. I mean, Wired magazine wrote this PR puff piece on this. They should have written a real piece, and they should have written it 5 or 10 years ago. Instead, this is what they do now. It's horrifying to watch. The complete absence of coverage. It's not like it's a hard story to get. I mean, I've been really clear. I've actually told some tech journalists in this really pointed way and said, like, I'll give you bullet points, like, buy a ticket to Hong Kong, get a Chinese visa before you go, get to Hong Kong, ride the subway to its end. At the end of the subway, go through Chinese border customs, get on the Shenzhen subway, which starts there, ride the subway to the center of Shenzhen, pop up, get in a taxi, take it to Foxconn, get to the front gates of Foxconn, stand there with your translator, or if maybe you speak Mandarin, just start asking people how old they are and what the circumstances are of their work. And so far, I cannot get anyone to actually do this thing. Because, well, for one thing, if a journalist goes to China, then they feel, if they belong to an organization, then they need to be on a journalism visa. Which, you know, I mean, and I don't understand, and I've had a number of people tell me that they could never do anything that I had done because of journalistic ethics. And I honestly, I've never trained in journalistic ethics. I don't understand a framework where that's would be part of your ethics, that you have to get a visa, that you know by having this visa, you'll be tracked the entire time you're in country and watched continuously. I would think your responsibility to the truth would supersede your sort of corporate responsibility to get the right kind of visa. And I mean, it's shocking how many people, seemingly really good people, nice people, have made a reasoned argument to me that that's not the case. And that, of course, they'd be on a journalist visa. They would not be doing real journalism if they said anything to anyone, if they ever pretended to be a businessman, as I did, and go into factories. And instead, they simply wait for someone to invite them, an invitation which never comes. And then they're able to say, well, no one invited me. I guess there's no story. And so I find the whole thing, I think I was really naive. And I don't think of myself as a naive person, but I honestly didn't think it was as, that we were as suborned as this. I really didn't think it was quite as bad as it's been.
You've been listening to Mike Daisy, On the Fly with Mark Dowling.
On the Fly was produced and directed by Blue Egg Media. Blue Egg Media incubates media futures and produces persuasive narratives for national and international media networks.